Okay, so get this, we're diving into this whole St. Maurice Abbey scandal.
Yeah.
And it's big, like seriously big. It's not just some local thing. It's got people talking all over about, you know, power abuses, all that happening inside this place. It's been around for centuries. We're talking priests, and not just like regular priests. We're talking abbots, too, accused of all this awful stuff going back decades. And get this, the deeper you dig, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Like whispers of cover-ups and this whole system that seems more worried about its image than actually, you know, protecting people. So yeah, whether you've been glued to this story or this is the first you're hearing about it, buckle up, because we're going beyond just what happened and getting into the why. Because trust me, this isn't just about one abbey in Switzerland. This is about something way bigger.
Yeah, what really gets me about this case is how it throws this huge spotlight on the clash between like secular law and the church's whole thing about policing itself.
Right, it's like these two worlds colliding and nobody knows what to do. So to make sure we're all on the same page, let's rewind back to how this whole thing blew up. It all started earlier this year, May 2024, when accusations of sexual assault were made against Abbot Jean-César Scarsella. Now, I mean, that alone is a bombshell, right? But what came next is what really set things on fire. RTS, which is a Swiss public broadcaster, they did their own digging and uncovered accusations going all the way back to 1995. I mean, think about that. Decades of potential suffering just swept under the rug, allegedly, of course. And naturally, right after that blew up, both Carcella and his successor, this guy, Abbot Roland Jacquenoud, they both resigned. Now, you might think, okay, resignations, that's something, right? But then it comes out that Jacquenoud himself admitted to this past relationship with a novice while he was a priest. And, of course, now the Swiss authorities are involved doing a full-on investigation, which is still going on. But it just makes you wonder, what took so long? And does this mean the church can't or won't deal with its own problems?
You hit the nail on the head with that one. Because think about it, the alleged time frame for this abuse, 1995 to 2005, that lines up with when the church was already under fire for similar stuff worldwide. I mean, Pope John Paul II even came out and condemned the abuse, called for reform and all that. But if they were really serious about change, then how come these awful stories keep popping up? It makes you wonder if those pronouncements were really just for show and never really meant for the local level. And the saddest part is the St. Maurice Abbey thing is not some isolated incident. This is like a pattern, a really disturbing one that we keep seeing in the Catholic Church all over the world.
It's like, how many bad apples do you need before you realize the whole orchard is messed up?
Yeah.
And then there's how the Abbey responded to all this. They actually said, and I'm quoting here, that critics were abusing the abuse. I mean, how do you respond to that? It's like they're more worried about their image than actually protecting anyone.
It's like textbook deflection.
Yeah. You know?
Trying to change the subject so people don't focus on the real issue.
Yeah.
And going after anyone who dares to question them.
Right. And that's what's so messed up about it. Because mm-hmm. underneath it all, there's this power dynamic that's just, it's sickening.
Exactly. It's not even about protecting their reputation anymore. It's about this system that will do anything to survive. And you know what? This isn't just the church we're talking about. You see the same thing everywhere. Anytime you have an institution that gets too big, too powerful, they stop caring about anything but themselves.
Yeah, you're right. It's like the more power they get, the less they want to admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
But what really gets me here is how different this is from what the church preaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compassion, forgiveness, all that. But when you look at what they do, it's a completely different story.
That's what I'm talking about with that decency deficit. It's the difference between what they say they believe and what they actually do when nobody's watching or when they think they can get away with it.
And that's where this whole Jacquenoud thing really gets to me. This isn't ancient history we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy who admitted to breaking his vows and they still let him lead. How does that even happen?
It makes you wonder about what's really going on inside the church, right? Was there a cover-up? Or did they just choose to ignore it because it was easier than facing the truth?
And honestly, that's almost scarier than a cover-up. Because it means it's not just a few bad people, it's the whole system that's broken.
And that's why this case has struck such a nerve with people, I think. It's bigger than just one abbey or one priest. It's about how power works everywhere. How institutions protect themselves and how often victims are silenced.
100%.
Okay.
And it makes us ask ourselves, what does real accountability even look like? Not just in the church, but in any organization. Because if this can happen in a place as old and powerful as the Catholic Church, what does that say about the rest of us?
And maybe even more importantly, how do we change it? How do we make sure that people in power are held accountable all the time, not just when it's convenient?
That's a whole other conversation right there. But for now, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the legal side of this. Because Switzerland, like a lot of countries, has laws about abuse, but we're still seeing these cases happen. So what's the disconnect? It's like the law is there, but what good is it if it doesn't actually, you know, do anything? especially with something as powerful as the church.
That's the million-dollar question right there. You can have all the laws you want, but if nobody enforces them, it's just words on paper.
Mm.
And these cases are tough, you know? Powerful institutions, deeply personal trauma. It's not easy to get justice.
Yeah, it feels like the church has this weight behind it, this legacy that makes it even harder to hold them accountable.
Absolutely. And that plays out in a few different ways. Like, take the statute of limitations, for example.
Sure.
Depending on where you are and what happened, there might be a time limit on when you can press charges.
So someone could be ready to come forward after all these years and the system just says too late.
It's a sad reality. And then there's the issue of consent. With this whole priest-novice dynamic, there's this huge power imbalance, this relationship that's built on faith and obedience. How do you prove in court that someone wasn't pressured, especially if the people in power were covering things up?
It really makes you think about how much needs to change, not just in the church, but in how we as a society deal with these situations. People need to feel safe coming forward, knowing that they'll be heard and that the system won't fail them.
Couldn't agree more. It's about shifting our priorities from protecting institutions to protecting survivors, making their voices the priority.
And that brings us back to that idea of decency. Because laws can only do so much. At the end of the day, people have to be held accountable, not just legally, but morally. Yeah. You need to understand that this isn't just breaking the rules. It's about the real harm it does to people.
It's about creating a culture where accountability and transparency are the norm, not just in the church, but everywhere. We need to support survivors, make sure they have the resources they need, and recognize how brave they are for speaking out.
It's a lot to unpack, but as we wrap up this deep dive, I think the question we all need to ask ourselves is this. What role do we play in all of this? Are we willing to stay informed to challenge these power structures and demand better? Because staying silent only protects the abusers. And this whole thing, as awful as it is, has at least gotten people talking, and it's on us to keep that conversation going. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and remember, keep asking the tough questions.